Okay, so first, you know, this week's shiur is sponsored by Naomi and David Kasovitz, commemorating the fourth yahrzeit of David's father, Gedaliah Yitzchok ben Shmuel Yosef, better known as Gabe Kasovitz. The yahrzeit's on the 10th of Shvat. He was, as we've discussed already, my father's law partner and friend for well over 40 years. And it's a huge chus to give a shiur le'ilu nishmaso, as well as for David's grandmother, Sarah Bas Gedaliah Sarah Kasovitz. Okay, maybe it's been aliyah for their neshamos. Okay, this week's parsha has our first mention of tefillin in the Torah. And obviously, you know, we could talk for weeks and weeks and years about tefillin, but I wanted to pick one specific part of tefillin and use it as an analysis of mitzvahs generally. We'll start as follows. There are many ways to categorize mitzvahs, but I think probably the most popular one and the one that makes the most sense for me is between unconditional mitzvos and conditional mitzvos. And I'll explain. Shofar, lulav, matzah, sukkah, you know, etc., etc. These are unconditional mitzvos, right? When the time comes, when the date comes, you have to blow shofar, you have to sit in a sukkah, you have to take a lulav, etc., etc. Okay? Those are often called mitzvos chiyuvios, meaning you're obligated to do them. There's another group of mitzvos, which are conditional mitzvos. Means when you get up in the morning, you don't necessarily have to do them. But if something happens that triggers the mitzvah, then it kicks in. Mezuzah, right? You don't have to put up a mezuzah unless you own a house. If you're homeless, there's absolutely no obligation to go out and buy a house so that you put up a mezuzah. The mitzvah of makeh, a fence around your porch, right? You don't have to buy a house that has a porch that you have to fence in. If it happens to be that you have a porch that people could fall off, you have the mitzvah of makeh. Maybe another example, benching. Okay, there's a mitzvah that people try to scrupulously avoid. If you get up in the morning, there's no chiyuv to bench. If you eat, right, kidei sevia, then there's a chiyuv to bench. Okay, so broadly speaking, two categories, conditional and unconditional. Now, obviously, if we asked ourselves into which category does tefillin fall, we'd all say unconditional. There's a mitzvah to put on tefillin every day. What I'd like to discuss today is maybe that's not the case. Maybe what we've assumed all our lives is not the case. A related issue number two that we want to discuss is how often is the mitzvah of tefillin? What's the chiyuv of the mitzvah of tefillin? So again, I think most of us would say it's a daily mitzvah. We're going to see that it may not be so obvious and that these two questions, you know, these two questions match up with each other. And just, you know, before we read anything, well, you know what? We'll read the first source and then...
Wouldn't you put get as a great example of the condition?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Getting divorced. Nobody thinks it's a mitzvah to get divorced. If you want to get divorced, this is the way to do it. I don't really think of it in that category because I think those are categories. There's a category of mitzvahs that if you want to get something done, you want to achieve something, this is the way to do it. I think that's slightly different than what we discussed, but you're absolutely right. Nobody thinks when you get up in the morning, you have a mitzvah to divorce your wife. If you want to divorce your wife, just like nobody thinks when you get up in the morning, there's a mitzvah to own an Eved Kenani or an Eved Ivri. If you're in this situation, you know, this is the way to do it. But I don't really think of those as the same, but it's a fair point.
Okay, what about tzitzis? We discussed tzitzis.
Okay, we'll get there. Okay, that's a good example also. I wanted to avoid it because Lemaisa, we don't do that. But you're absolutely right. Jackie's right. If you're not wearing a four-cornered garment, you're not obligated to put tzitzis on it. Okay, again, the way we lead our lives, we treat it as obligatory, but you're absolutely right. And on, there are tons of examples. So just in terms of the question of, is it a daily mitzvah or not? So you look in this week's parsha, source number one, v'ayah l'chala osal yadecha ulezikaron b'einecha. Okay, it should be a sign on your arm and a remembrance between your eyes. L'ma'an tiyeh tarat Hashem b'ficha, Ki biyad chazaka hotziacha Hashem mi-Mitzrayim. Right? It's related to Yitzias Mitzrayim. That tefillin should be a remembrance. It should serve to remember, to remind you of the Torah Hashem, and that will remind you that God took us out of Mitzrayim. And if you look at the Ramban on that pasuk in source number 2, the Ramban says Shirov hayal lechol laot al yadchol zikaron beinecha ki b'yichol. Okay, fine. Uperush shetichtov al yadcha va'al beinecha yitziat Mitzrayim. That you should write on your arm and on your head, again in tefillin, Yitzias Mitzrayim, v'tizkor ota tamid, and you should remember it forever. L'ma'an shetiyet Torat Hashem b'ficha, lishmor mitzvotav v'torotav, kihu adonecha hapodecha mibeit avodim. In the Ramban, again, I highlighted the word so you can't miss it, it seems to be that the mitzvah of Shema is some kind of, you know, continuous permanent mitzvah, right? You're supposed to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. You're supposed to remember God's Torah. The way to do that, or a way to do that, is by wearing tefillin. Okay, so right away you see that certainly in the psukim, there's no mention of a date, right? It doesn't say on the 15th day of Nisan, you should wear tefillin like it says about matzah, and it doesn't say that about other mitzvahs. It just says it should be on your arm, it should be on your head, and that's all. So it turns out that as crazy as this all sounds, it happens to be a major machlokes. And let's start in source number 3, where we're going to see the following. I'll say it, and then we'll look outside. We'll say it outside. If I asked you how long, let's assume tefillin is a daily mitzvah. Okay, how long does one have to wear tefillin to be yotzei the mitzvah? Is it all day? Obviously, we don't do that. Is it a minute? Is it for shachris? Is there a minimum? You know, is there a maximum? These are questions that, you know, we don't think about that often because we just do what we've been doing our whole lives. So it turns out that's a machlokes. It's brought in the Bir Halacha in source number 3, but he quotes others. He says, "Ayin b'pri megadim shemistapek im min haTorah chayav kol hayom." The pri megadim has a suffix. Is the mitzvah of tefillin all day long? O min haTorah dai berega echad shemaniach. No, in the Torah, you just have to put it on for a second, like you pick up a lulav for a second. But he says, "Umidirabanan kol hayom." Okay, midoraisa, you just put on tefillin for a second. Midirabanan, they want you to wear it all day long. We don't wear tefillin all day long. So he says, ubitluha achshav she'ein lanu guf naki. But nowadays, we don't wear tefillin all day long because we don't have guf naki, right? It's hard for us to keep ourselves clean. Umasik, and he concludes, di'ikaran shel dvarim, so according to Prima Gadim says, if it's a daily mitzvah, which I think it is, then there's no minimum time. But if you didn't put on tefillin at all during the course of one day, you are mevatel a mitzvah saseh. Ubehaniach rega alav, but if you put on tefillin for a minute, kiyem ha mitzvah, you are yotzei. Aval mitzvah min ha-muvchar min ha-Torah lihiyotan alav kol hayom. So he says, mida oraisa, you have to put on tefillin for a second during the course of the day. Midrabanan, you know, chibub ha-mitzvos, whatever, midrabanan, you should try to wear tefillin all day long. Okay, that's the Prima Gadim. U'besefer Yeshuos Yaakov pasak, de min ha-Torah mitzvasan kol hayom. Now, the Sefer Yeshuos Yaakov says that the mitzvah d'oraisa of wearing tefillin is to wear tefillin all day long. Okay? Now, how could it be that we don't? So we don't, presumably, because you have to have strong concentration, you have to have gufnaki, what have you. But it's strange. if it's really the case that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to wear tefillin all day long, not a minhag, but a mitzvah d'oraisa, so we stop doing a mitzvah d'oraisa because we can't stay clean enough, right? How does that happen? The idea of gufnaki is drabanan. The idea of concentration, all these things are drabanan. So how do you have some kind of nu chumra drabanan be mavatel a mitzvah saseh min haTorah? I'll give you an example of where it happened and it was rejected. As we all know, in the land of Israel, we duchen every day, and in Chutz La'aretz, we don't. Okay, so there's all these discussions about why that is. The Beis Yosef quotes a theory. And the Beis Yosef says, well, the minhag in Europe was for Kohanim to go to mikvah before they duchen. And it turns out it's pretty hard to do that every day, especially in the winter when it's freezing cold and they had no heat. So because they couldn't duchen, because they couldn't go to mikvah, they stopped duchening every day. And the Beis Yosef says, that's insane. That's an example of a chumra da'asi lidekula. No one told them, there's no din that you have to go to mikvah before you duchen. So they adopted a chumra that you have to go to mikvah before you duchen. And you, based on that chumra, they resulted in a kula of not duchening every day. It seems like that's exactly what's going on here. You know, we took on all these chumras about wearing tefillin. And because we took on these chumras, we don't wear tefillin all day. But if that's the mitzvah d'oraisa, then we should be doing it. And even if you want to say, as we do say from time to time, that chachamim can be mevatel a mitzvah saseh, right? Yesh kach biyad chachamim la'akor davar min haTorah b'shei va'al ta'aseh. What's an example of that? We don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Chazal made gzeira. We don't take a lulav on the first day of Sukkot, if it's Shabbos. Chazal made it zera. But the point is, Chazal did not make that zera here. You can't find any place where Chazal came. There's some Gemara that said, yes, min haTorah, you're supposed to wear tefillin all day long, but you know what? It's dangerous, so let's just wear it during Shacharis. We don't find that any place. So how did this happen? Okay, now, let's look, before we try to explore the answer, let's look at how we paskin. Okay, source number 4, and it'll make it even clearer. This is the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, and Simon Lamed Zayin Sif Bet, and he says as follows, Mitzvah son lihiyosam alav kol hayom. Okay, the mitzvah of wearing tefillin is to wear them all day long. Now, as we know, it's very rare for the Mechaber to tell you if something is a doraisa or drabana. He tells you what the halacha is. Presumably, we keep drabanas, we keep doraisas. So you can't tell. He says, the mitzvah is to wear tefillin all day long. Why don't we? He says, aval mipnei shetzrichim gufnaki shelo yafiach bahem. Because you can't pass gas, or you have to be very careful about that your body is clean. By the way, that seems easier to me than the next one. Vishelo yasiach da'ato mehem. When you wear tefillin, you're supposed to wear tefillin. Meaning it's not just like you're wearing, that people used to do this at work. There was once a time where I had to wear ties to work. I know this became a joke. Somebody said, look up, what color is your tie? Right? You never remember what kind of tie you're wearing. Well, I never did. Right? And the point is, okay, you put on a tie in the morning, you forget about it. So the Mechaber says, you can't wear tefillin that way. You don't put on tefillin in the morning and then just go about your business. You're not allowed to have hesech hadas from tefillin, which is why, great people, you often see them in shul, touching their shel yad and touching their shel rosh for no reason other than, touching them reminds you or reminds them. So it's something he's supposed to do. I remember clearly, now in Israel, it's much more common. Many years ago, we went to visit, we came to Israel for the summer, and we went to some yeshiva in Hebron. It was the afternoon. And I saw these two guys, they were sitting with their tefillin on. And I was like so overwhelmed, like, wow, these guys must be saintly. And then 15 minutes later, I saw them in the makolet with their tefillin on. And I thought, I don't think that that's really what we had in mind. Okay, so the point is, the Mechaber says, it's hard to wear tefillin all day because you were worried about hesech hadas. Ve'ein kol adam yachol lizoher bahem. It's very hard to have kavana for your tefillin all day. So he says, nahagu shelo lahanicham kol hayom. Okay, so the minhag became not to wear them all day long. And just to finish, he says, umikal makom, sarich kol adam lizoher bahem, liyotam alav bishat kriyat shema utfila. Nevertheless, people have to be very careful to make sure to wear them during Kriya Shema and during Shmona Esrei. Okay, that's a different topic. But essentially, the Mechaber says what we all know. And that is, really, you should wear tefillin all day long. But because of Gufnaki and because of Hesech Hadas, we don't do it. But at a minimum, you wear it for Shema and for Shmona Esrei. Now, the Magen Avraham right there says something interesting, and it starts to give us a window into the history. The Magen Avraham says, "Mashma k'tzas da'afilu mi sheyodea ba'atzmo sheyesh lo gufnaki." Sounds like even somebody who knows that he has a gufnaki and knows that he could take care of himself, maybe not the whole day, but he can take care of himself for an hour, for 2 hours. He says, "Lo yanichan kol hayom." They shouldn't wear it all day long. Mipnei haramaim, kimosha kasav v'beis Yosef. What are the ramaim? So this is a side point, but it's significant for us. It turns out, you know, ramaim are tricksters. It turns out there was some period of time where certain business people wore tefillin. Now, they didn't wear tefillin because they were so frum. They wore tefillin because people assumed they were from. And so when you went into their stores, you trusted them. I mean, who wouldn't trust the guy who's wearing tefillin in the afternoon? And we all know this. The same way that I saw these people in Chevron, I was so overwhelmed. You see a person wearing tefillin in the afternoon, you think to yourself, you know, this is a holy roller. And if he owns a store, you know, probably you don't negotiate with him. You go into the store, you pay what he asks you, because this is a guy who wears tefillin. So you get a sense now, it's not just gufnaki, and it's not just hesech hadas. Wearing tefillin when other people don't, let's put it that way, is as public a display of how frum you are as can be. I'm not saying that's a reason not to do it, but it's not something minor, right? When you see a person wearing tefillin in the afternoon, you think something about that person, and presumably that person should be self-aware enough, you know, to know for himself that he's making a statement. And so I'll suggest now that part of it could be as fewer and fewer people wore tefillin all day long, other people perhaps who wanted to didn't, because it's a way of really singling yourself out. You know, maybe people who wear that tzitzis out have a similar din, but certainly, you know, it used to be for me. Now in Israel, people wear the tefillin all the time. You know, last week, a guy drove past me with his tefillin on. I was not impressed. You know, okay, it's a different world. But probably my guess is that's how it developed. That as people stopped doing it, the people who continued doing it understood that this is some kind of really, really public statement. It's like you're wearing a sign saying, you know, I'm firmer than you, which we all think, but we generally don't wear signs saying that. Okay, let's go back then to the question we asked. And the question we asked, forget the politics, forget, you know, Yuhara. By the way, I guess the word I was thinking of for wearing tefillin when other people don't is Yuhara, right? And everybody knows, for example, when you go to a cemetery, you tuck in your tzitzis. Why? Because it's Yuhara. It's like you're showing off. It is a halachic concept, not one that's so popular nowadays, but you're not supposed to use religion, you know, to impress other people. Okay, but let's go back to our question. Where we started was that at least according to the Shuas Yaakov, and maybe others as well, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to wear tefillin every day, all day long. Now, how does that mitzvah just go away because of these chumros that we adopted midrabanan? Doesn't make sense. Okay, that's the question. That's the fundamental question we started with. And now let's look at the Shitas HaRambam, where we'll see something fascinating. Now we're moving a little bit away from tefillin for a few minutes and more to mitzvos generally. Okay, here's the Rambam. Everybody knows the way the Rambam is set up. you know, there are a bunch of many, many Svarim in the Rambam. Each one, 14 Svarim in the Rambam, that's why it's called Yad, Yud Dalet, Yad HaChazaka. And there's a heading to each one where the Rambam tells you in brief what the mitzvos are that are going to be covered in this book. So, source number 5, the Koteret, as it's called. Here it's called the Hakdama, the headline, the heading. For Hilchos Tfila Unasiyas Kapayim, it's as follows. Yesh Bichlalan, says the Rambam, Shtei Mitzvot Asei. In this book, there are 2 Mitzvot Asei. Achat, La'avodat Hashem B'chol Yom B'tfila. 1 is Davin every day. Shnia, Levarech Kohanim et Yisrael B'chol Yom. The 2nd mitzvah is for the Kohanim to bless us every day. Okay, the Rambam makes clear how frequent is the mitzvah of tefillin. The answer is daily, b'chol yom. How frequent is the mitzvah of birchas Kohanim? Again, not talking about the issue of chutz la'aretz. The answer is daily, b'chol yom. And the Rambam makes clear as well in the first halacha of Hilchos Tefillah, in source number 6, mitzvat asei lehitpalel. Okay, that's all we have to read. So there's no doubt in the Shita Sarambam that tefillah is a daily obligation and Birchas Kohanim is a daily obligation. Now let's ask the question that we asked about tefillin about these. How does the Rambam know? Where does it say any place? It's true, the Rambam quotes a pasuk. The pasuk is, Va'avadetem et Hashem Elokeichem. How does he know that that's a daily mitzvah? Right? The pasuk says, for Birchas Kohanim, Kotiv Archu et Bnei Yisrael Amor Lohem. How do we know that that's daily? Maybe it's more than daily. Maybe it's less than daily. So there's a famous Kesef Mishnah that answers this question and also lays out kind of a fundamental proposition in terms of how we understand the frequency of mitzvos. Source number 6 says the Kesef Mishnah on that first halacha in Hilchos Tefillah. He says within the Rambam, V'da'as Rabbeinu, Shem mitzvas asei min haTorah lehispalel b'chol yom, Mima shekosov, the source of that mitzvah to daven every day is, Va'avadetem et Hashem, you have to serve God, and obviously, if the mitzvah is to serve God through tefillah, so presumably that means every day. Now he reveals kind of the truth. He says it's daily by sort of process of elimination. What's that? She'im eina b'chol yom. Okay, we don't have a source that davening is daily. Ulay navo lomar. Then maybe we would say, what's the other? And maybe it's once in your life. He said, that doesn't make any sense. It can't be that there's a mitzvah that you have to do once in your life. Al korchach, we have no choice but to say, achiyuvu lehitpalel b'chol yom. So it's fascinating. Basically, the Kesef Mishnah says, the default frequency for any mitzvah, which is not, you know, identified as such in the Torah, is daily. If it's not daily, the Torah would tell us. But if the Torah just tells us to do a mitzvah, and it doesn't tell us how often to do that mitzvah, then, says the Kesef Mishnah, presumably it means to do it every day. Now, I guess, you know, we could have argued in theory, how does he know? Maybe once a week, maybe once a month, maybe once a year. I think he would say, no, anything that's weekly or monthly or annual is explicitly described as such in the Torah. Okay? So the Kesef Mishnah believes that the Rambam thinks tefillah and duchening are mitzvos asei that are daily obligations. And he basically thinks that about the range of mitzvos in the Torah that are not otherwise described. That's my understanding. Okay? The problem is, this is almost certainly not true in the Shita Sarambam. And you'll see it right away. Look at source number 7. This is now, again, the first source that we did in the Rambam was the koteret, the heading to Hilchos Tfila Unesiyot Kapayim, where he said each of those mitzvahs in source number 5 are daily mitzvahs. Now we go to the heading of Hilchos Tfilin Umezuzah V'Sefer Torah. I just put in the beginning of it. And he says as follows. The whole Sefer, Yesh Bichlalan Chamesh Mitzvot Aseh, V'Zeu Pratan, this is the breakdown. We just need two. Lihiyot Tfilin Al Harosh, that's the first mitzvah. The second mitzvah is Likashram Al Hayad, to tie them on your hand. Now, what's missing from this description? The answer is the Rambam doesn't say liot tfilin al harosh bechol yom. He doesn't say likoshram al hayad bechol yom. And the Rambam was a pretty careful writer. He did it for tefillah, he did it for birchas kohanim, but he doesn't do it for tefillin. He doesn't do it here. He doesn't do it in the Sefer HaMitzvos. In source number 8. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam says, V'amitzvah hayud bet, the 12th mitzvah, he, shetzivanu lehaniach tfilin shel rosh. Now it's begging. It should say, shetzivanu lehaniach tfilin shel rosh b'chol yom. But he doesn't say that. Okay? Let's stop here for a second and just, most of you are probably thinking to yourself, well, it seems strange. The Rambam has two separate mitzvos. One, tefillin shel rosh. The second, tefillin shel yad. So you'll think to yourselves, well, of course he has two separate mitzvos because there are two separate brachos. And that must be an absolute proof that they're two separate mitzvos. But it's not. Because, incredibly, the Rambam thinks, l'chatchila, you should only make one bracha, which would cover your shel yad and your shel rosh. This is one of the most famous proofs for the fact that what we think is not really true. We think you could track how many mitzvos by how many brachos. But here the Rambam blows that up by saying, and Sfaradim do this. Sfaradim only make one bracha on their shel rosh and their shel yad together, unless they spoke in between. Now this also leads to one of the strangest halachas that we have. We all, make two brachos on our tefillin, right? We make lahaniach on the shel yad and al mitzvah tefillin on the shel rosh. Okay, which by the way matches up nicely with how the Rambam describes it, right? The mitzvah of tefillin shel yad, says the Rambam, is lekoshram al hayad. It's a verb. We make the bracha lahaniach tefillin. It sounds like the shel yad mitzvah is to put them on. The shel rosh mitzvah is liyot tefillin al rosh, which matches up nicely with al mitzvah tefillin, which is what we say on the shel rosh. But the strange thing is, we don't really reject the Rambam, not completely anyway, right? What's this incredibly bizarre thing that we do to shitas Rambam? I think it's the only place. I think it's the only example, right? What do you say if, God forbid, you make a bracha levatala? So you say, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Va'ed. Not so much because they're magic words, but more because, God forbid, you said the name of God in vain. So now we say, God, I'm not saying it in vain. It's not because I don't respect the name of God. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam, may your name be made greater and greater, right? That's the halacha. You go to a water fountain, you make a shahakol, you press the button, no water comes out. You have to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Va'ed. That's what we do when we make a bracha levatala. Of course, that's also what we do when we put on our shel rosh. Right? It's so strange, and we've done it our whole lives, so we don't even think about it. What's Baruch Shem? It's not magical, because we're not sure if we're supposed to be making the bracha on the shel rosh, a separate bracha on the shel rosh, or not. So we make the bracha, and then we say Baruch Shem, as if, God forbid, we didn't have to make the bracha. We've straightened it out by saying Baruch Shem. It's also very important to know halacha lemaisa. That's why you're supposed to have your tefillin shel rosh in place, and only then say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Va'ed. Because if you didn't do it that way, then Baruch Shem would ki'ilu cancel the bracha before you did the mitzvah. Okay, that's just a side point, but it's a fascinating side point. let's come back to where we were. Okay? Where we were was the following. We wanted to say that everybody believes that a mitzvah for which the time is not designated in the Torah is a daily mitzvah. And that would, of course, make tefillin a daily mitzvah. But we saw in the Rambam that the Rambam describes tefillah as b'chol yom. The Rambam describes birchas kohanim as b'chol yom. But with respect to tefillin, the Rambam does not use the words b'chol yom. And that is why, I wouldn't say it myself, and if I did, you would all jump on me, so I'll hide behind somebody much greater than me. That's why Rav Asher Weiss says that in the Rambam, tefillin is not a daily mitzvah. Right? Let that sink in. Tefillin is not a daily mitzvah. So then what is the mitzvah of tefillin? How is it defined? So he says as follows. There's a mitzvah to wear tefillin as much as possible. It's not defined by day. He says there's another category of mitzvah satorah. They're not daily. They're also not defined by other times. They are defined by as much as you can. The example he uses, which is very compelling, is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. All of us know there's no real minimum in Talmud Torah, and there's certainly no maximum. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to learn Torah as much as you can. Some days that's more, some days that's less. But he thinks that's got to be the Shita Sarambam. It's not defined by daily, it's simply defined by how much you can. Now, it's strange because, well, we'll skip a source, okay? Go to source 10, and he thinks when you read source 10, which doesn't really, doesn't read like a Rambam should, but it is. You could see the Rambam's sort of emotional attachment to tefillin and how he really sees it. So let's look at source 10. This is the Rambam in Perek Dalet, Halacha Chaf Hei of Hilchos Tefillin. Says the Rambam, Kiddushat Tefillin, Kiddushatan Gidolahi. The Rambam is just, you know, talking about the beauty of tefillin. The greatness, the holiness of tefillin is very holy. Shekolz man shehat tefillin birosho shel adam va'al zro'o. So long as a person's wearing tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, hu anav, he's modest, v'yarei shamayim, and he's God-fearing, ve'eino nimshach b'schok u'v'sicha b'teila. Right? You're not going to speak Lashon Hara with your tefillin on. You're not going to clown around. Ve'eino meharher machshavot ra'ot. You're not going to think improper thoughts while you're wearing tefillin. Rather, ela mifaneh libo b'divrei ha'emet v'hatzedek. Instead, when a person is wearing tefillin, says the Rambam, and righteousness, okay? Here, it sounds like a Sefer Kabbalah or something, or Hasidus, right? I don't mean that in a bad way, Jackies. Okay? What he's saying is, tefillin is more than a mitzvah. When you wear tefillin, it's like transformative. When you wear tefillin, literally, you know, you're frumer, right? You're more modest. You're more God-fearing. You don't clown around as much. You focus. He says tefillin makes you, you know, a better Oved Hashem. Now we get to the definition. Lefikach, therefore, tzarich adam lehishtadel lehiyotan alav kol hayom. The Rambam says, because tefillin is so important, because it makes you better, mitzvatan kachi. He said that's how he understands the mitzvah, mitzvatan kachi. And presumably what that means is, for the Rambam, the definition of the mitzvah of tefillin is as much as you can, as long as you can. Because if you have this secret weapon, you know, which allows you to become a better version of yourself, which allows you to become a genuinely more religious version of yourself while your tefillin are on, well, of course you would want to do that. right? It's almost values-based. It's like he's left the world of halacha, and he's just saying, tefillin is so amazing. Well, of course you would want to wear it as much as you can. And he finishes as follows. Amru alav al rav, talmido shel rabbeinu akadosh. She said about Rav, the Talmud of Rabbi. Shekol yamav lo ra'uhu shehalach arba amot below Torah, o below tzitzit, o below tefillin. Okay, they never saw Rav, the Talmud of Rebbe, they never saw Rav walking without Torah, or four amos, without Torah, or tzitzis, or tefillin. Now there you see something really interesting. The Rambam sort of equates, the story equates Torah, tzitzis, and tefillin. And in the story, so first of all, you know, if there was an absolute halachic requirement to wear tefillin all day long, there was an absolute halachic requirement to wear to learn Torah all day long or to wear tzitzis all day long. Well, then what would be the great praise? Ooh, no one ever saw Rav, the Talmud of Rebbe, you know, not make a bracha on a fruit. Well, of course, that's the halacha. No one ever saw him go a day without davening. Well, of course, that's the halacha. Presumably here, it's different. Presumably here, the point of the Gemara is, you don't have to wear tefillin all day long, halachically, but you want to. His greatness was that he did. Right? That's the great praise. So again, you know, the definition of the mitzvah is as much as you can. And, you know, other examples of that might be a tshuva. Tshuva is a mitzvah that isn't defined, but obviously we only think about it during Elul and Aseres Mei Tshuva, but it's not tied to that period of time. It's true that period of time is a particularly good time to do it, but it's not tied to that. So too here, right? The idea of tefillin is to wear them as much as you can. Same thing for Amalek. You could say Amalek's all day long, but then how would you do any other mitzvah? You could say that davening is all, that learning is all day long, but then you never do any other mitzvahs. And so it turns out there are minimums and maximums. Right? Look at source number 9. This is a famous Gemara in Menachos Tzadi Tesam and Bet. Am Rav Yochanan Mishum Mishum Ben Yochai. Afilu lo kara adam ela kriyat shma shacharit va'arvit. Even if you only, all you did was say shma morning and night. Kiyem lo yamush sefer atara zemi picha v'agisa bo yomam v'layla. You got the mitzvah as if you learned all the time. And then a big philosophic machlokas. V'davar zeh asur la'omro b'fnei amei ha'aretz. You're not allowed to tell this to amei ha'aretz, presumably because they won't learn. They'll just say shema in the morning and at night. V'rava amar mitzvah la'omro b'fnei amei ha'aretz. No, it's a mitzvah to tell amei ha'aretz. Because otherwise they'll think, in order to get the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, I have to learn all day and all night. Now they find out, no, there's a minimum. You could do it that way. So perhaps, you know, we could compare tefillin and Talmud Torah, which is the minimum for tefillin, I guess, has become, you know, wearing it during shacharis in the morning. But the maximum is, would, and should be wearing tefillin all day long. Okay. The problem for this shita is this next Rambam. It's the Rambam that apparently I forgot to number. Obviously, I have the wrong version of this on the screen, but that's okay. We're all friends. Okay, here's the Rambam Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Bet. Says the Rambam. And this now goes to sort of how mitzvahs break down in a way that I presented them at the very beginning. Here's the Rambam. Yesh mitzvot asei she'adam chayav lehishtadel v'lirdof ad she'yaaseh ota. There are mitzvot asei that a person has to chase after. These sound like unconditional mitzvahs. Kigon, tefillin, sukkah, lulav, shofar, etc. Ve'elu hein ha'nikra'im chova. These are called obligatory. Why? Lefi sha'adam chayav al kalpanim la'asot. Because a person's obligated to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And a person's obligated to eat matzah on Pesach, etc., etc. Now here's the other category. V'yesh mitzvah she'ei nachova, ela domin lirishut. There are other mitzvos that are not obligatory. They look like they're optional. Kigon, the examples I gave at the beginning. Mezuzah, umakeh. She'ein adam chayav lishkon babayit ha-chayav mezuzah. Kidei she'ya'aseh mezuzah. Person's not obligated to live in a home so that he can do the mitzvah of mezuzah. No. Ela im ratza lishkon kol yamav ba'ohel. Obisfina, if he wants to live his whole life in a tent or on a boat, yeshev. He doesn't. He can, and he's not any less religious than the rest of us who live in houses with mezuzah. V'chein, eino chayav livnot bayit kidei la'asod makeh. A person doesn't have to build a house with a porch in order to make a makeh. So, this is everything we wanted, except for the problem that he includes tefillin in the category of unconditional mitzvos, when we want to argue within the Rambam that tefillin are not unconditional, they're just something you want to do as often as possible. Okay, so the short answer has to be, at least Rav Asher thought, the short answer has to be that there's something in between. You know, lulav, sukkah, shofar, matzah, etc. These are things you absolutely have to do. Okay? Mezuzah, ma'akeh, other examples of benching, maybe we want to do with gittin, whatever we talked about at the beginning. These are things that if the circumstances are such, you have to do. But if they're not, you don't. And again, here the example of getting divorced is a great one, right? Nobody thinks you're supposed to get divorced. If you're in a situation where you no longer want to be married, the Torah says it's a mitzvah to do it this way. So it's possible that tefillin, of course, it's not optional like mezuzah and makeh and divorce and things like that, because we want you to wear tefillin. But perhaps even though we want you to wear tefillin, it's still not as obligatory as are mitzvos like sukkah and lulav and shofar, etc. We want it to happen. It's not like divorce, which we don't want to happen, but if it does, here's how you do it. No, tefillin occupies something in between. Maybe it's not conditional, but maybe it's also not unconditional. Okay, so main point, and then we'll finish up. Main point is we normally think of tefillin as being a daily mitzvah, like all other daily mitzvahs. And if you didn't do it one day, you're a mevatel mitzvah saseh. It seems overwhelmingly likely, at least according to Rav Asher, that that's not the Shitas HaRambam. That for the Shitas HaRambam, Talmud Torah is a better example, where the definition of the obligation to wear tefillin cannot be defined by day or by hour. It's as much as you want. Not as much as you want is a bad way to say it. It's you should try to wear tefillin as much as you can. Okay, so let's ask the question. Well, if that's the case, you know, why don't we do it? And so if you'll say the answer is, well, you know, to wear tefillin at work, to wear tefillin all day long, it's not respectful tefillin. Maybe that, what about mincha? Right? However long it takes us to daven mincha, why don't we put on tefillin? Obviously, we can observe guf naki, we can observe hesach hadas. Why not? So it turns out that tefillin is slightly more complicated than that. Let's look for this at the Sefer Kada Kamach. The Kada Kamach was written Rabbeinu Bechaye in the 1200s. And it's a window into something really interesting in our history. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, Yesh mitrashlin b'mitzvah tefillin. He says, there are Orthodox Jews who are not careful about the mitzvah of tefillin, right? That's unbelievable to us. She'einan zihirin b'hanachatan. They're not careful to put it on. I'll say to put it on every day, maybe. Why? Mipnei shechoshvin shehatfilin tzrichin kedusha v'tahara yoter midai. Because they think to themselves, you know, tefillin, it's an aspirational mitzvah. It needs a purity and a focus. And I can't do that. Ve'ein le'el yadam lehitkadesh ulitaher kolkach sheyihiyu re'uyim lahanicham. I'm a regular Jew. Tefillin is for gedolim, right? I can't reach that level. Therefore, I won't wear tefillin. Vihine heim to'im b'machshavazo, says the Rabbeinu B'chai, this is a terrible mistake. V'chot'im chet gadol shelo b'kavana, ela b'tmimut lev. They sin with a terrible sin, but he says, obviously they're not trying to sin. They're doing it out of the purity of their hearts. And now, why is this a mistake, he says? He says, Shari matzinu sefer Torah mikudash v'chamur yoter minat tefillin. He says, you know, sefer Torah is on a higher level than tefillin in terms of kedusha. V'chal echad v'echad miYisrael ole v'korei b'Torah. But no one in shul says, you know, don't give me an aliyah because I'm afraid to come near a sefer Torah. V'ra'uhu lekach. But that would be a better decision. Nobody's afraid to touch a Sefer Torah. Okay? So what you see here is, and I looked it up, I couldn't find it, but I think it's true. When the Rush was the first Rishon, maybe the only, probably not the only, the Rush was the first Rishon who moved from Ashkenaz to Sfard. Right, the Rush ran away, and he ran from Ashkenaz to Sfard. He got there, and the story is, he saw a whole bunch of Orthodox Jews who didn't put on tefillin every day. So he asked them, why not? And they told him, we're afraid. You know, it's not that we're not religious. We daven, we do all the other mitzvahs. We don't think we're on a madrega, we're on the level to wear tefillin every day. And he told them, stop. You know, tefillin is a mitzvah, and you got to figure out a way to do it. And so I think, you know, there is, if we said to ourselves, you know, tefillin, you should try to wear it as much as you can. But there is this other side. And the other side is it does need a focus and it does need a purity that's sometimes hard on us. But I think you add that to something else. And the something else is what we saw earlier, which is the yuhara involved, right? There are a lot of chumros that each of us could take on ourselves, but so long as they're not done publicly. Let's say, you know, I do something that I once saw Rav Lichtenstein do. Does that mean I think I'm on his level? Of course not. But if it's a private thing that nobody knows about, okay, so who's it bothering? But if it's a public thing, right? If you wear tefillin at mincha and nobody else does, that's a statement. I remember many years ago, a guy in yeshiva started wearing tefillin, and Rav Amital Zatzal said about him, doesn't he want to know why the Rosh Yeshiva don't wear tefillin? I mean, you know, you have to know your place in the world. So it could be that in a perfect world, you know, we'd wear tefillin all day long. But because of the downsides of wearing tefillin, and there are downsides, there are some risks, because of that, the minhag is developed otherwise. Now, let's finish, and then I'll make a last point. When you look in the psukim in the Torah, in source number 11, this is now, we have this week's parsha, then we have the psukim in Sefer Bamidbar. Yalachem letzitzit uritem oto uzichartem et kol mitzvot Hashem. Tefillin is both an end in and of itself, meaning, you know, there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin, but also it's a means. It's a means to something else. Uritem oto uzichartem et kol mitzvot Hashem va'asitem otam. You're supposed to see them and remember the mitzvos. And then, v'lo tatur achrei lo achrei, right, you won't stray. L'man tizkeru va'asitem et kol mitzvotai v'hiitem k'toshim lo'echem. So that you'll remember and keep the mitzvos and worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? It's a strange description. It's a description that sounds like tefillin is a means. Wear tefillin so that you'll remember. Wear tefillin so that you'll feel close. Wear tefillin so that. It's strange. And it also has a strange halacha related to it in Shulchan Aruch, source number 12. Gadol schar mitzvah tefillin. The reward for tefillin is great. V'chol mi she'eino manicham hu bichlal Poshei Yisrael Bigufan. A person who doesn't wear tefillin is a sinner with his body, as if his body, you know, committed a crime against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though obviously that's not what happened. He just didn't wear tefillin. But there's tefillin has a special status in Machshava that I think reflects itself in Halacha. And the way I see it is, tefillin is a way, you know, to basically, tefillin should reflect or is a way of seeing where you are. A person who wants to be a certain type of Oved Hashem will wear tefillin more, right? A person who wants to be better will try his hardest to wear tefillin longer. And I think, and let me be careful how I say this, it's easy for me, you know, I don't have a job anymore. I'm in yeshiva. But I think if you're going to learn before davening, and it's not too early to put on tefillin, you should put on tefillin, you know, for your learning. Now you'll say, well, what if I, you know, what if I want to daydream? What, okay, so don't, right? It's true. You can't have your coffee while you're wearing tefillin. I think that's disrespectful. Or after davening. I don't know, you want to learn a Mishnah, right? You want to say the Ketoret. You want to do any of these things. So keep your tefillin on for an extra minute, for an extra 2 minutes. Every minute that you wear your tefillin, you ought to feel more religious. And when you take your tefillin off, yeah, it's sad. Because now I have to, you know, sort of go out and do the rest of my life that's less God-focused. But to come back to Rav Usher's point, if the definition of tefillin is to wear it as much as we can, then within the confines of the lives that we live and the societies in which we live, we should try our hardest. And I find for myself, you know, if I keep my tefillin on 5 extra minutes, you know, it's 5 extra minutes without, you know, lashon hara and kidding and checking my phone and what have you. And it's a magical 5 minutes. So I think what we've seen is an interesting discussion about how to categorize mitzvah satorah, conditional, unconditional. The assumption that tefillin is unconditional and daily, which does not look like the Shitas HaRambam. It seems like in the Rambam, tefillin is not unconditional and daily. Tefillin is an aspirational mitzvah. Tefillin is a mitzvah by which you can gauge, you know, how you are and where you stand vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's true, historically, you know, strange things have happened where Orthodox Jews didn't wear tefillin and people were nervous about it. But chumros, you know, sometimes get in the way of mitzvahs. They really do. And in this case, you know, the more you're machmir in Kedushas tefillin, you know, the less you wear tefillin. And I think Rishonim have been pretty clear that we want you to wear tefillin. And I would say instead of giving up and saying it's beyond me, you know, at least for 5 minutes, we could aspire to it. I think for 5 or 10 minutes, everybody could clear their minds. Everybody could focus and everybody could aspire to be more. All right. Yashkach. That's it for now.
Then why don't we?